Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Currently recording this on Sunday, November 22nd, and Winnipeg has moved into, actually the whole province of Manitoba has moved into another lockdown. COVID-19 cases have spiked exponentially the last couple months, honestly, and as I mentioned last week, lots of people have died because of this pandemic. And most recently, a change has been made to remove non-essential items from purchase in brick-and-mortar stores. You can still go on Amazon. You can still go out and order from Best Buy and things. You can get the things you need online. It's just they're removing the ability to get things like clothing and electronics, appliances, books, magazines, things like that from store shelves. Actually, was in Walmart yesterday picking up a few things, and they had blocked off, they created barriers to keep people in kind of the hygiene sections as well as the food sections of the store. And this has raised some interesting conversations. So the messaging from the provincial government has been to support local, to shop locally, to order from local restaurants, to order from local stores. If you're going to DeLucas to get your wine, or you're going to go order from, you know, Ruby's, you're going to support local businesses. And the conversation has been, well, there are people there, you know, you can get your essential items online, or your non-essential items online. You can order, you know, from these, you can support local, and the messaging has been to support local. And there's been vocal opposition to that, people arguing that those are more expensive options, and there are people that can't afford those options, so they need things like Walmart and Costco, because they can buy in bulk, or they can buy cheaper products that they can actually afford. And people don't have access to credit cards, so they can't order things online and get them, so they still need access to those things. Actually, last night I was having a conversation with my girlfriend, and she had brought up a post that a friend of hers had made saying that they need to add clothing to the essential item list and allow people to buy clothing, because there are people in the city, and winter's here, there's snow on the ground. If I look out the window behind me, there's snow on the ground. There are people who need extra layers. They need to buy clothing because they don't have adequate heating in their homes, so they need to wear extra layers to keep warm. And then also there are growing children who are needing clothing replaced regularly. And this actually set me off. I was ranting for probably 20-30 minutes about this whole thing, and this is what gave me the idea for this episode, because with a lot of this, people saying, "Oh, we need Walmart and Costco open because there are people that can't afford to not go to those places. There are people that can't afford to that don't have a credit card." It points to they're pointing to an issue. They're saying that you need to allow these things because there are people that cannot afford to do it otherwise. There are people that need these non-essential services. There are people that need to go outside and go to brick and mortar stores. You're pointing in the right direction, but you're pointing to personal problems when we should be asking structural questions. And that's going to be the topic today, something called the sociological imagination. The sociological imagination is a foundational concept to the sociological discipline, created by C. Wright Mills. Actually, I have the book on the bookshelf next to me. I was meaning to read it. And essentially, the sociological imagination is a concept in sociological analysis, in the discipline, it's an abstract concept that discusses the ability to look past personal problems, see how personal problems link together into structural issues, society-wide issues. So the idea, and one of the popular examples drawn, is that job loss and unemployment is a personal problem. It is a problem that an individual person can have. They can lose their job or be unable to find a job for many, many issues, for many, many reasons that are personally held. You know, they don't have the right education qualifications, they're disabled, they are too old, there's ageism, there's racism, there's a bunch of different factors that could lead to job loss or unemployment. But once you look on a more abstract level and you see that it's not just one person experiencing this, there are multiple people, you know, segments of society that are experiencing the exact same issue for very similar reasons. It's that ability to abstract a concept and look at it not as something personal, but as something higher level, something structural. And as I said, this is something that was foundational to sociology. It's something that every undergrad, every grad student is taught. When you become part of sociology and you become an academic, because it's a concept that we all need to possess to work effectively in the discipline. So a structural, you know, something, sociology allows us to understand things that are deeply held as a personal issue, and see that they are in fact part of a more structural and more systemic society-wide problem. And one of the best examples of this is suicide, which everyone considers as a personal tragedy, something that an individual undertakes and goes through. And it was actually the cornerstone of a book of the same title by Emil Durkheim. If you have a Mount Rushmore of sociology, C. Wright Mills and Emil Durkheim are going to be on there. So Durkheim, coming firmly from the objectivist tradition, something we previously talked about, argued that there are irrefutable social facts in every society, statements and concepts that exist as objective and real. They cannot be easily altered or worked around, they simply are. You know, the example, deviance exists in every society, but while every society will have different lines drawn to describe what deviance is and what behaviors are deviant, there will always be a concept of deviance. In his book Suicide, he had written to prove that sociology was a science, that a method of inquiry existed that could draw out irrefutable truths from facts, like how physicists and biologists could. The book Suicide in and of itself dealt with making real this idea that suicide is not inherently personal. There is something structural to it. There's something in society that causes it. Looking at different rates, suicide is constant in society. The rate doesn't really change year over year very much. Durkheim argues that if suicide was a personal problem, we would see much more variation because every human being is so different from one another, every human being's experience is so unique, that there would be huge, huge changes in the rates of suicide every year. But across every single country and society in the world, suicide rates hold pretty steady. They rise and fall over the order of decades, not years, not months. So Durkheim took this idea and he tried to figure out why this rate is constant. So he looked at different demographic groups. He looked based on age, he looked based on culture, he looked based on region, he looked based on socioeconomic status. And the two things that he finds, and you still find to this day, gender, so men commit suicide more often than women, and in religious denominations, Protestants had the highest rate of suicide compared to all other religious denominations. They had, you know, higher rates of suicide than Catholics, than Jewish people, than Muslims, than Sikhs, than everybody. And he drew the link between suicide and isolation, because the Protestant religion is very isolating. It's very individualized. You know, there's no, you don't go to church and sit with everybody. You don't have the priest telling you and reading to you from the Bible. It's all done by yourself. It's that Protestant idea from England, right? And the same thing with men, is that men are much more emotionally isolated, and there are pressures on men to always be in control and to be strong and to not show weakness, and that increases the chances of suicide. Now, this all goes to the idea that we are currently looking at these problems in the wrong way. And that's the point of this episode, that we need to administer that sociological imagination to the world we're seeing right now. And hopefully, when you can learn these things, learn to look further than individual experience and see how these fit together into bigger, broader issues. So right now, the idea of in Manitoba, one of the major problems is COVID is being spread because people have to go to work. They have to go to work to support themselves. And this stretches all the way back to the start of the pandemic when CERB was created. CERB was created because businesses were closing, they were shuttering, people were going home, and people couldn't find work. People were losing their jobs, people were being furloughed. And the government stepped in and paid for this. It gave people CERB, people that qualified CERB, so they could support themselves. And that's kind of been lost because we've been working in this frame of capitalism that you need to work to make money. And we had this broad society-wide issue of COVID-19 and people unable to find jobs, and the government and people recognized that because of the pandemic, it was impossible for people to find work. So the government stepped in, said, here's your tax money back. Here's the money you gave us to run this government. You need it to survive right now. And we've really lost. That was like a brief moment of social solidarity and the sociological imagination spreading throughout society. And it was brilliant just for that mere flash. And we've kind of lost it. So when I see people saying, oh, well, there are people, you know, you need to add clothing to the essential items list. You need to add this to the essential item list. You need to add this for this reason. You know, these people can't get this thing and these people need this thing. You know, people don't have adequate heating in their house, so they have to wear more clothes. People can't afford to shop locally, so they need a Walmart. They need a Costco. They need the cheap option. You need to be able to shop in a brick and mortar store because there are people that don't have credit cards, so they can't order things online. These are all pointing to different issues that we're not really talking about, and similarly connected issues. And people have lost this ability to be critical of the society that we're in. We're so stuck in this capitalist consumerist mindset that we can purchase our way out of a problem, that by giving the people opportunities to buy things that we can circumvent the problem. And really, by adding more and more things and making more and more exceptions to the rules, the lines become meaningless. Because we might as well not have restrictions if every day we're going to move the line, we're going to shift the goalpost to include more things, and eventually we're just going to be back to square one. When we should really be looking at something more structural, we need to be looking at something that's more systemic than allowing people to shop. So the example of people that need to buy more clothing because they don't have adequate heating in their house. Okay, there's a large segment of our population that has inadequate heating. The answer should not be to allow them to spend their money and give their money to Walmart so they can buy cheap clothing that's going to go to waste eventually. Maybe we should turn to say, why are there people in our society that don't have adequate heating when we live in Winnipeg? We live in Manitoba, one of the coldest places on earth. We should address that. We should ensure that those people have adequate heating in their homes, that they have homes to go back to. Not that they should be shopping and being able to buy things to heat themselves, that we should be helping ensure that they have that adequate heating. People not being able to afford to shop locally or purchase things that are not provided cheaply from something like Walmart, Costco, or Amazon. Okay, then we need to rejigger how we value things in this society. We need to ensure that people can afford, the thing with CERB. CERB allowed so many people to spend more money than they had because it operated as a universal basic income. People had a higher income than they ever had before, so they could afford things that they never had before. And it worked pretty well. It helped prop up the economy for a very long time because federal money, our own tax dollars, were being fed into keeping people to a certain standard of living. It worked very well. And the people not having access to credit cards and having bad credit so they can't get a credit card to buy things online, well, we need to look at issues to remediate that structural issue, why they need those things, why they need a credit card to do those things in the first place, why they can't get a credit card, or why they have been subjected to, and it's often to them being subjected to predatory practices by banks and money lending, and it comes down to we're looking at the wrong issue. We're stuck in this consumer mindset that buying things is the way that we have to fix things. You can buy your way out of a problem. That allowing people to shop and spend money is what's going to solve these issues, and it simply is not. Because these issues, once the COVID-19 pandemic is over, let me get this across to you. Once the COVID-19 pandemic is over, those people that can't afford, that need to buy extra clothing to keep themselves warm in the winter because their home isn't heated well enough in Manitoba, they're still going to be cold once COVID goes away. They're still going to have to buy those clothes and spend inordinate amounts of money every year to keep themselves from dying. That problem doesn't go away. This is not a problem caused by COVID. This is a problem that was already there and we weren't paying attention to it because it wasn't in the forefront of our consumerist minds. The people that can't afford to shop locally, so they have to go to a mega corporation like Walmart, who can provide things incredibly cheaply and really just poor quality appliances and clothing and everything, they're still going to be unable to afford high quality or at least acceptable quality food, clothes, appliances. They're still going to have that problem when COVID is over. Just allowing them to buy things isn't solving the problem. It's a band-aid when you have a gunshot wound. You're trying to paint over a hole where somebody punched through your wall. It's ridiculous. It's using duct tape to fix the iceberg hole in the Titanic. We're completely missing the issue here, that it is structural. It is much deeper than one or two people that need to do this thing. It is large chunks of our society that are having these issues, and they're having the same issues. They're having multiple of these issues, because I can tell you, the people that need to go to Walmart to buy clothes to keep themselves warm in the winter and keep their kids from freezing to death are the same people that can't afford to shop locally, so they have to go to a Walmart. They're the same people that have been had their credit destroyed by banks and money lenders and credit card companies, so they can't get a credit card, so they have to go to risk their livelihoods and risk their lives of getting infected with COVID-19 to go to a brick and mortar store. These are not isolated incidents, and these are not things that are just going to go away. You know, this is not going to solve this problem, because eventually they're going to have to need to do those things again. The reason Walmart is such a big company is because there's a massive, massive chunk of society that has to shop at Walmart. They have to shop there because it's all they can afford. The reason McDonald's is such a big company is because for some people, it's cheaper to go to McDonald's than buying vegetables. The reason that people have to buy more clothing, that people have to go to homeless shelters, is because our society has done such a poor job of ensuring that in the coldest, one of the coldest places on earth, there are people without shelter and adequate heating to actually live. The reason that job loss, every tick, every 1% increase in unemployment in a society causes 40,000 new deaths, which is an actual trend, and the fact that it's a trend that is constant over time shows that it is a systemic issue, going all the way back to Emile Durkheim and his book Suicide. We are staring down the barrel of a loaded gun and asking nicely that we don't pull the trigger. We have put a financial floor on people surviving. You need the fact that we have to ensure that we force people that a monetary value, that you need to have money to buy things to exist as a human being and to live from day to day, is a problem. This is abstract. This is like looking down on planet Earth from space type issue that I'm going for right now. But it is an issue. It's a human issue. The fact that we can live in one of the richest and most progressive countries in the world, but people have to rely on Walmart for their heating. They have to rely on Walmart, one of the largest corporations in the world, so they can live through the winter, is a problem. It's not a personal thing. It's not 10 people. It is a percentage of our society, year over year over year over year. Remember what I said about Emile Durkheim and suicide, the fact that suicide rates are constant in the order of decades, points to a fact that it is a characteristic of society that is causing this issue, that it is a fact of society that this is going on. This issue is not going to go away because Jane and John want to be able to buy a t-shirt from Walmart. This is going to go away when we ensure that people at a base level, which our society can provide, because CERB showed it, we can provide at a base level, people can live, can survive. Poverty, having an empty bank account should not be a death sentence. But for many people it is. It means a life of debt of menial labor until an early grave. Back to that discussion, Killing Fields of Inequality by Goren Thereborn. People of lower income die earlier and more often than people of higher income. We have long-standing social issues that we need to be looking at. So what am I trying to get at here? I've been rambling for 25 minutes. The issues that are facing our society today, I want you to be able to look at an issue, something that's going on in society, a story in the Winnipeg Free Press about one person, about, you know, a friend of yours that's going through an issue in their life, something that you see on the news or hear on the radio or see on Twitter. And I want you to be able to think critically and abstractly and to see, how could this be occurring that has nothing to do with this one person? And I'm not saying go conspiracy theory with it. I'm saying, is there a flaw in our society and the way we operate as human beings that makes it difficult for these people to live? Because I can tell you, from my decade of experience in sociology, most times there is. So, you know, don't blame people for not being able to afford things. Blame the structure that makes it unaffordable. Blame our economy for ensuring that there is a chunk of our population that cannot afford basic necessities. Blame our government because they cannot ensure that people survive, that people have an acceptable standard of living. That people routinely die for things that we should not be dying for. As a human being, you should be able to live. You should not die because you can't get to Walmart and buy a couple extra t-shirts. And unfortunately, there are people that are going to die for that stupid issue, because we cannot provide them adequate housing and heating. Walmart already has made billions of dollars off of this global pandemic because they've cornered their market on a large chunk, probably 20% of our society, because they're the only affordable option. And we allow that to happen. Walmart's not a Canadian company, people. When you give a dollar to Walmart, that dollar's gone. That's gone from the Canadian economy. If you give a dollar to that mom and pop store down the street, that dollar's staying in Winnipeg. It's staying in the Manitoba economy, and they're going to go and spend that dollar on something else. If we can become self-sufficient enough where our dollar stays in the Manitoba economy, where we don't have to rely on outside economies. And Canada is one of the most resource-rich countries in the world, so there's really very little reason we should be relying so heavily on other countries. You know, look at Iceland, look at Sweden, look at Denmark, look at so many other countries. Japan, for instance, maybe not Japan, they have to do a lot of importing, but there are countries on this planet where you're able to get an equal or even better option, alternative to something provided by Walmart for cheaper, and your dollar goes further. We're looking at the issues in the wrong way. You need to start looking structurally, not individually. And that's going to do it for me today. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UM FM, thank you very, very much for tuning in. Stay tuned for some great music and great shows. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you very, very much for your download. This has been Let's Talk About. I've been Jason. You've been the audience. And have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.